we're going to look at learning to trust God. Now, when we talk about human relationships, when we talk about, you know, family, when we talk about friends, and then when that family member, that friend, or that loved one breaks trust with us, breaks trust over actions that they commit, and over actions that you commit, where you break trust with them. You've heard me say, forgiveness is immediate. For the Christian, it is. But trust is earned. Trust, and I will say that I have people that I don't want to get around. Doesn't mean that I have bitterness or anything else, because the bitterness that may be in here real deep, if I get around that kind of action, then I will get angry, and then I will not obey God's word by being angry but sinning not, because I'll get angry and I'll sin. But God isn't that way, folks. You see, God is our trust. Our Creator has never, ever betrayed us. Our Creator has never, ever turned us away. Even when our Creator, God Himself, after creating the human race and watching us on our own, meaning we didn't need Satan tempting us, we did it on our own, period, and watching us turn our back on His love so much, we realize that we could always trust Him. And look at all the prophets. Look at King David. Good gracious, you know, every time you turn around, he is messing up again, but he would always go back knowing that he could trust God. God did not have to earn our trust. God is our trust. God is our life. He is the spark that keeps us going, to the point that we could not look face to face with God. And tell me what religions out there in the world, what gods that these people serve, would ever, in order to express His love, He comes down from heaven as a human being so we could look Him straight in the face, and His name is Jesus Christ. So He comes down. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, He comes down. Why? He wanted us to know we can trust Him. He wanted us to know that He would never leave us nor forsake us. Even after He had made the statement that, after looking into the heart of man, I know there is evil in the heart of man continually. And throughout the New Testament, throughout Scripture as a whole, we've seen something where God is telling us, you can't do this. For one thing, you don't want to get it right. And another thing is, you do everything you can to keep from serving me. You back away when I offer you love. You refuse to take my word when I give you the authority and give you my spirit to deliver that word. And then He says, I love you. You see, God, through His love, remember this morning our love test, love spiritual test during the morning message? Well, God says, I want you to understand how much I love you. God is that test. And He is the one who gives us the answers. I love the professor, Tom Caldwell, when he walked into class one day, my second day in psychology, which I wished had been my last day in psychology, but he walked in and he said, every one of you have an A. Every one of you in my class, as of right now, you have an A. Well, I didn't know whether it'd be wise to get one of the hit guys to go ahead and take him out so we could get an A or whatever. I'm joking. But yeah, I'm going to have to learn not to joke like that sometime. Gosh, yeah, I am. Okay, anyway, and he said, you have an A. And he said, now you got to work hard to go below it. And I thought, what is he talking about? Meaning he was having grace and he was ready to teach us if we were ready to learn. He wasn't worried about the test. We would start having tests, and he said, you want an oral test or do you want a paper test? I said, well, it's Gordon. Which one's the hardest? And he says, well, let me give you the oral test first. And then he said, who was Carl Gustav Jung? And I said, he was one of the crazy ones, just exactly like all the rest of them, was nuts. But he dealt in cocaine, just like Freud dealt in cocaine, and all of them stayed high. And I said, how many of these questions are there? She said, there's not any more after that one. And I said, well, how'd I do? He said, you got an A. I said, I'll take it. I don't want the written test. What he did as a Christian is wanted us to understand that the mind of man is not greater than the mind of God. And when you look at the great philosophers and you watch and listen to those great philosophers and you hear them tell about the greatness of who they are and how they, oh, you got to learn from this guy. No, I need to learn from Jesus Christ. You and I are supported in our trust with God. He's never betrayed our trust. But he looked to the heart of man and he said, your heart is evil continually. You will not keep my commands, and in fact, you cannot keep them. Okay? How could I be guilty if I can't keep them? I'm part of his creation. God says, trust me. He said, here is your salvation. And he sent Jesus. He said, it's through the blood of my son. It is through him that you will come in my presence in heaven. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That ought to be in the Bible somewhere, Brother Randy. Think of that. That's the kind of love God says. But he says, you're going to have to trust me. So there comes our problem. It's just like the love spiritual test this morning, the love of trusting God tonight. You go from love to trust. Well, they're synonymous, are they not? Never. Think of this. Okay. I love you. God says, I love you, Larry. I'm not going to trust you to do what I've just told you to do, but I love you. Love does supersede. Love goes better. But you and I understand that the love of God this morning, we talked about love. Love can either be the door to heaven or the door to hell. You love the world, that's the door to hell. You love the Lord, that's the gate, the door to heaven. So there's two different types of love. But to trust God, you don't have to sway one way or the other. Trust him. Has he ever done you wrong? 80 years old, church father. For 80 years, I have served the Lord. Polycarp, thank you. For 80 years, I have served the Lord. And he has done me no wrong. Why would I turn on my only God, my Savior? I will not renounce my Lord Jesus. And they set a light to fire. Didn't do him much good on that one. You see, don't mess with God when he has one of his men, one of his women, delivering a message. Because when they stabbed him, if you'll remember, I don't know whether you all ever know about Polycarp, but anyway, the blood is when they stabbed him to kill him because they lit the fire and, you know, they're looking in there and there's a wind all around him and he's not burning. All that'll mess your mind up. And then they stabbed him with a spear type of a thing.
I don't think I'd have wanted to mess with him after
Oh, that's right, my dear. And they sure didn't want to mess with him after this one. When the blood came out, the fire went out. And God said, you know, look, God showed who this man of God was. But you know what the blessing was? God took him on home. You don't have to put up with him anymore, Polycarp. I'm bringing you home. Because he refused to renounce Christ. You all know this is on my heart, but around the world, I am so proud and so hurt about the Christians around the world refusing, knowing they're going to get their heads cut off, refusing to turn away from Christ. And we're not even close to that in America, and we won't even talk about him out in public. Sometimes, oh yes, sometimes we, and that was a slap. They, ISIS and the Taliban and all see that as a slap to Christianity. It's an honor. I mean, you know, they really got it wrong about the cross. We know what it represents. Okay, let me get on with that. Okay, learn to trust God. Here's the promise, Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ. He said, you need to trust our Father in heaven. Anything you need, he will take care of that. But you see, sometimes Christians fall on this too. Christ is real. This is not us talking about some kind of ghost or any of this, except for the Holy Ghost. Any kind of ghost or any of this. This is a promise direct from God. And he said, I'll take care of you. So do we not recognize God as sovereign? Well, we know that. Does God own everything? We know that he does. And yet he says, why are you worried about this? Well, what if I don't get it? If you don't get it, you don't need it. But God says, trust me. He has poured out blessings on us, folks, and our cup has overflowed to the point that we've become a spoiled brat nation. We think everything is to be handed to us. And we think, when we went to lunch today, I always laugh about this because parents do it all the time. And I'm the worst as far as a papa for doing it. If a kid doesn't like something on their sandwich when they get it, either mama or daddy are up there digging. But the funny part was, it's about three tables it happening to everybody, you know, kids at those three tables. And then I thought, maybe I better look inside the sandwich I got to see what's in there. But mine was fine. But you think of that. And they're used to being catered to. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, hear me well on this one. I love my son. I love my grandson. I love the mamas and the daddies and all of this, okay? I love them. And I want to give to them. But I cannot give to them the way God gives to us. God says, my blessings will overflow on you. But trust me, he says, and watch me. If I won't open the gates of heaven, the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing on you that you can't even handle. Well, I wish I could get that blessing. We must not wish it very much. All we have to do is trust God for it. See, it's not money pouring out. Folks, it's peace. It's understanding the true love of God. It's finding finally within a human existence that you can have that peace down here. You can laugh at what people call death because you can't die. You're just going to leave the body. Why then isn't everybody's needs met? If God says, I want to meet all your needs, why then isn't everybody's needs met? It's because there's the condition. Now listen to it, Matthew 9:29. according to your faith will it be done to you. Well, okay. God says, listen to me. I'm going to give you faith to believe. Now, what I want you to do is take the faith that I have given you and entrusted to you, and I want you to turn the power of the faith, and I know it has power, because I gave it to you, says God. I gave it to you, and I want you to look at me, and I want you to recognize me and trust me. With what? Trust me with your faith. Every one of us have faith. All of us do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have faith. But we have the faith mingled with the human existence. What do you think? God doesn't understand the human existence. He lived it. So therefore, he gives us the faith that we need for that time. Again, I remind you, why can't I have more faith? Well, because you won't use what I've already given you. God doesn't waste anything. He's not going to waste the blood of his only begotten Son. Every drop touched the heart of every one of us who are born again. Touched the heart of many who refused to say yes. Faith is not an emotion, the way you're thinking, hoping, or wishing. Faith is a God-given trust. Okay. I'm going to trust you with this faith I'm giving you, Larry. I'm going to trust you. What do you want me to do with it, Lord? I want you to pray to me through the faith I've given you. And I will show you the path that I want you on. Thanks, Lord, but you know, praying, it gets pretty difficult. I don't know that I have time to really. And there's where we are in this world. We're on high speed, except for some of us. We've slowed down a little bit. But we're on, you know, we're really up there in high speed. And the Lord says, trust me. Faith is a God-given trust. I trust God with my belief. And then you trust God with your faith. Faith develops through use, just like a muscle. Now, I haven't used this muscle here around my waist for a long time. So what do I have? I have relaxed muscle. Just hanging there. How can we learn to trust God more? Are you ready? 1 Peter 1:7. Now, Peter learned a great deal, folks. But how did he learn? Through failure. Yes. You know, we don't want our kids to fail in anything, so they give everybody a trophy. You don't want the kids to do this or fail, you know, so we don't even work with them on building character. Because until you can learn to lose, you will never be able to accept, in most cases, experience winning. It is through the hurt and the pain of life that we gain love with our fellow man. If I have cancer, you know, you say, well, you know, how can I relate with the people, Lord, that have cancer? Well, don't worry, Larry. I'll give you cancer and you can learn. Don't ask that anymore, people. You know, sort of back off on that part. God will teach us and train us, but we trust him. 1 Peter 1:7, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. Oh, how strong do I have to be? You aren't the strong one. It is Christ who lives in us that's the strong one. The pureness of faith is not our faith, our human conditioned faith. The pureness that God is looking for is us recognizing Christ in us. And that when we recognize that, we have trusted God with all that we have and all the hopes we would ever have. When we trust God with it all, don't try to figure it out. You're going to get in trouble like Joshua did, wanting to count. Let's see how many warriors we have. Don't count the warriors till God tells you to count warriors. Meaning, trust God You may only need 300. One from 30,000 Gideon did down to 300. And God says, now Gideon, that's the army I want you to stand against, whose enemy you cannot count, and you don't even know how many camels they got. They got so many. Now, that took some trust, did it not? But it took trust from through Christ, through him. Okay. These are called the fiery trials of life. Now, I'm sure none of you all in here have ever had fiery trials in your life. You've never heard and never really been. Okay. So he's talking to all of us, isn't he? Okay. Four of the most common trials. This is a life test I'm giving you tonight. There's four of the most common trials. Number one is the pressure test. How will I handle stress? Will I depend on God or myself? Huh? Will I use the pills? How about complaining? Don't do that. Moses taught his brother and sister a lesson on that. And never complain. To complain is sin before God. Miriam and Aaron, if you will remember, they went against Moses. They were complaining against him. Just like the rest of the Hebrews complaining that, why did you take us out of slavery? We were eating good stuff. And bring us out here and watch that food come from heaven. And what is that stuff? Angel food? Yeah. God gave them exactly what they needed to give them the strength. You know, if we knew what manna was, somebody would artificially try to make it and put it in a health food place and make billions off of it.
Probably take the gluten out of it.
Yep. And no good fat in it at all. No. Yeah, they would strip it down. How will I handle stress? Will I depend on God or myself? As take pills, complain. Some go shopping. Oh, I'm so stressed out, I think I need a whole new wardrobe. Well, what do? You say, wait a minute, I'll get the pills. Do you know who does this more? It's not the women. No, folks. That was just like the deal one time I ran the stats on hairspray. And they told the billions of dollars spent on hairspray. And that's just for the men. I used to, you know, have so much hair it looked like a helmet, and I sprayed it. And after I sprayed it enough, it became as hard as a helmet. It didn't move at all. Yeah. So, or eating disorders that are cause or a result of stress. I don't exactly believe that because I've had an eating disorder ever since I was a kid. I thought if it tasted good, you eat it, right? Yeah, you eat it. And then all of a sudden, I moved to the city, and all these city folks say, you can't eat that fat stuff. Told my mama the same thing. You cannot eat fatback onions and cornbread with red-eye gravy. Yeah, and she'd only been eating it that way. I don't think she ate it as a baby, but for 101 years old, she's... I told her that chocolate on the table the other day was going to kill her because they said that too much sugar, so I sat there and ate it just to protect her. Well, see, that's what God does to us, folks. Don't we understand that God said, I love you this much, so I'm going to take the hits and I'm going to give you exactly what you need, or the eating, and then it goes to the alcohol. And I say alcohol, but today, folks, it can be anything. It can be anything. We have a whole society that are turning to something. It doesn't matter what it is, so that they won't have to think about the problems in their life. And then when they do that, you have more problems in your life. It's a vicious cycle. Yes, it does. But now, let me tell you, now, maybe somebody doesn't go to the extent of all of this. But there's many people, many Christians that will hide, keep undercover. I don't want to get involved. You know, when God calls us to storm the gates of hell with a water pistol, he said the gates of hell cannot prevail against you because you're my church, meaning you are the one's church to go out and get them. But when you're so afraid, what if I invest my emotions? Oh, God forbid that I go make friends with somebody and then they let me down. You know what I know in older years now? Well, turnabout's fair play. Wonder how many people in my life I've let down that cared about me. So we do that. But folks, it hurts. It hurts deep when that goes on. Psalm 50, verse 15. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. The Lord loves rescuing us. And folks, I know everybody here, and he's done a lot of rescuing over the years, hasn't he? Yeah. Yeah. How many times he pulled us out of the ditch of life when somebody else was wanting to cover it in, fill it in with us in it. Maybe a quick fix approach, my way. Now, think of this one. How many times, Lord, don't you worry about it. I don't want to bother you with this because I know you're busy, so I'll take care of it. I am a Christian who can almost raise the dead and they get together and they do all of this kind of stuff. Even go to a graveyard and sit there. Well, it's pitiful. Folks, it is God. It is Christ that we focus on, not who we are, not on how close we are with God. There is nobody in here any closer who is saved. Nobody in here any closer to God. In salvation, folks, that means we're all Christians. That means people say, well, I want to walk closer to God. How can you walk closer to God, who gave you his son? He watched him die on a cross. And he says, I love you. And this is why while we were still called sinners. And we Christians mess up on this one because people say, well, I guess that you, now that you're a Christian, you're not a sinner. We know that in this human body, we will continue to be sinners. But we're saved sinners. You cannot explain that to a lost person. Don't try it. I know you can't explain it. I don't understand it. You don't either. We're still trying to figure out the salvation itself of how could an all-loving God love a creation that turned on him. The church is recognized as the bride of Christ. And the church in America today has went off a whoring against the husband, Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see, and Israel went off a whoring. I had folks here 15 or so years ago. Gosh, I've been here 21 years now. But you know, they were upset that I would use that term in the pulpit. I said, I didn't use that term. I was reading the Bible. I was reading the scripture. And of course, don't ever do that to me, folks, because then that's when the human part of me, you know, kicks in. And every other Sunday, I was talking about people going off a whoring. Because if it bothers you, if what is said in God's word bothers you, then look within your own heart. Don't look to the word of God and blame it. Maybe a quick fix my way. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have done two evils. They have turned away from me, says God, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own wells, which are broken wells that cannot hold water. When we do it our way, it's the wrong way. You will never be able to understand total trust for God and trust in His Word when we try to fix it all ourselves. I'm going to go around here and I'm going to, now I'll do this for you, Lord. But at the end of it, I'll say, glory be to God. Well, at the beginning of it, you say, glory be to God. At the beginning of every day, glory be to God. And if I'm going to say that I'm going to do something tomorrow, we need to be saying, if it be God's will, I will be there. I will do this. I will do that. God will not bless our will. God will not bless our will because our will hurt us. When we pray, Father, and you know, at the end, maybe we do tag it on. Not our will, but yours be done. But I'd really appreciate it if you use my way because I've already got it figured out. God will not bless our will because our will hurt us. Okay, what's the antidote? You ready? Isaiah 50, verse 15, second part. If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Remember something. When we are out here in the wilderness of this world, and every place we look is darkness, the Scripture does not tell us that God will shine a light on it. The Scripture tells us He will be the light within us. And we can walk though the human eyes cannot see because of the darkness. God says, trust me. You walk. I'll make certain your steps are secure. That's okay, Lord. Just give me a flashlight. You don't want the flashlight. As I told everybody when I fell coming out of Metro the other day. Fell hard on the blacktop. I was laughing because I remembered, I told Faye, I said, you know, I remember as a good Marine that any time we would try to, about to fall or anything else, you tucked and rolled. I said, I couldn't tuck and I couldn't roll. And the only thing I could do, you know, the last one is bounce. I didn't bounce, I just went splat. And here I am, laughing.
You sound like my daughter Carol.
And it would be pitiful if anybody saw me, they turned their head. You know how people will do that. We don't want to see that. Because here that idiot is laying on the blacktop after falling laughing. I was laughing at the idea that I splatted. What did I expect carrying all this weight? Okay. Yeah, I'm healthy. Thank you, Lord. I splatted right there on the blacktop. Life is a test. Are we going to turn to God or other things? How many times we turn to other things and then say, well, all we got left is prayer. Yeah, all that's left is prayer. This makes you want to go in there and slap all the preachers that say that stuff. No, I don't. I mean, that was... Okay. Number two is the people test to stretch and develop our faith. How will we handle disappointment? I know this was an understatement because I chuckled when I was writing here. Things don't always turn out the way we plan. What is it? You want to hear God laugh? Tell Him your plans? Your career, your marriage, your children, the people test. Isaiah 2:22. You should stop trusting in people to save you because people are only human. Now, I love every one of you all, and you know that. But now remember that Paul through psychology and the training and all of that, you got to go through one section where it's trust. And those silly, foolish psychology professors, you know, now Larry, you stand over her there, close your eyes, and I want you to get somebody behind you that you trust to catch you. And I looked around the room. I said, I don't trust anybody in here, including you. I mean, that's the good thing about going to college after 30. Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing about that. But could you do that? Well, what if I said, okay, trust me, I'm your pastor. Close your eyes and fall back. You would say, I love you, Pastor, and I trust you. But you're not man enough anymore to catch me. And you're going to break, and I'm going to break in the process. But see, God says, trust me, not people. Stop trusting in people to save you, because people are only human. Oh, Daddy, I'm only human. I hear that from you one more time. Boy, you won't be. Remember how we make excuses for our mistakes and all of that? The problem is not the people in your life. I wanted you all to see this. It's not the people in your life, but how you respond to them. The people don't make you do anything. It's your response to people that causes the trouble. How do you respond to evil when it comes your way? Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I trust you. Or now, the Lord does say, be wise enough to turn and run, folks. When you see evil coming, turn and run. Well, yeah, but I'm such a Christian, I can stand toe-to-toe with that evil. And I say, okay, I'll get you out of jail in the morning. Go ahead, do that. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made him their hope and confidence. Don't put your hope and confidence in a human being. It's not because we don't truly love each other. It's because we're not capable of being able to catch you there, because we're not with each other all the time. We're not capable. We can't be with our children all the time. And if our children only trust in us as parents, and then we send them into the world, what are they going to do? So we raise them to trust in the Lord always. Our prayers are for them as they walk out the door, to the first day of kindergarten or preschool, to the first day of first grade, right through high school, and we're always there. And then right after high school, they decide they want their inheritance. Now, I read a story on that one in the Bible too, didn't I? Give me my inheritance. Well, Daddy wasn't dead yet. But he did. Remember, he divided his inheritance that day to the prodigal son. Who was the one that gave him the most trouble? It wasn't the prodigal. It was the son that was left at home and owned everything all the time anyway. But what a lot of people forget is he divided the inheritance right then. He split it with both of them. Now, God does that. He said, your inheritance is already here. You have inherited eternal life through the blood of my son. Your inheritance is here. Your retirement is here. Come on home. You know, people wait for retirement to wait for retirement. They get old enough that they say they can retire. They retire. 6 weeks later, everything breaks down. They're either dead or, well, you know, this isn't a planned retirement like I thought. No, it's not. You want to be with people you love. Be with people you trust. Be with people who care. And then all of a sudden, you know, once again, I'm sorry, folks. I probably need to go to one of those psychologists. Sorry, but when I think of that with my sister and my brother-in-law, such love they had for each other and such love they had for me. And you see, I never saw that coming because they had it all together. Relationship with Christ or church, all together. And then all hell breaks loose. And both are dead. Think of that. It wasn't planned that way. I remember many times at the kitchen table, sitting down, talking, and I remember this conversation. I've thought of it. I've had a hard time this week with all that. But I thought of it, and I remember my brother-in-law the last time that I saw them. We're up at Mom's. And he was saying, Larry, do you really believe in once saved, always saved? Because I don't. And I said, Lauren, whether you believe it or not, you are. It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is when you say yes to Jesus Christ, you're the family. I would never want to do anything, he said, though, that would have the appearance of wrong. And then the call, your brother-in-law murdered your sister. They changed it to homicide, thankfully. But folks, the changing of it doesn't change the evil that's in the world. And with Alzheimer's, the evil of the breakdown. So therefore, let's plan, if it be God's will. My retirement is you, this church. My retirement is each one of you of caring and to love you and to preach God's word, us do it together. You see, but one thing I do know, that's the safest retirement I got. Preaching and proclaiming the word of God. Find something you love to do and make it your life work. You'll never, never hesitate to go to work every day. Okay. Whew. Look what happens when you trust the Lord. Isaiah 49:23, anyone who trusts in me will not be disappointed. Number three, the persistence test. Will we keep our commitments? Life itself, folks, is about commitments, right? Every day, everything we do is about commitments. And no commitment is easy. People that won't commit. People that lukewarm. I'm neither here nor I'm neither there. The Lord said, well, you getting ready to get spit out? Because I want you either hot or cold. This lukewarm stuff doesn't go with me. The Lord says, no commitment is easy. Just don't make friends. And that way you won't hurt when you lose them. And this is a common thinking today, folks. I don't want to make friends with you because we're in this unit and it's doubtful that half of us are going to make it back. So if I'm not close with you, I'm not going to hurt. You can't do that. We're in this together. I will hurt with you. I will laugh with you. We will unite together and then storm hell with that water pistol. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4. If you make a promise to God, don't be slow to keep it. God is not happy with fools. So give God what you promised. Be careful, folks. I watched a young man many years ago stand up and pledge so much. This is, I guess I was in the ministry then. I can't remember how long ago that was. And then withdrew the pledge from that particular church. Did not give what was promised and really put the church in turmoil because it was a considerable amount. And his wife had said, I'd rather have a new car than you give it to the church. He made the promise. She didn't. And I watched them steadily decline to losing everything they had. Well, was that from God? Did God zap them like that? That was from their own foolishness. Do not promise God and then turn your back on Him. For one thing, whether it's money or anything else, for one thing, we are told in God's Word, was it not yours to keep, to do with as you please? Enjoy the fruit of your labor. It was yours. You did not need to, if you wanted to keep it, keep it. But you made a promise, and then you broke it. Dangerous place to be for folks. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5. The wise man will find a time, a way to do what he says. Making time. Lord, I wish I had time for you. And then one day comes when it's the accident or whatever it is, and you see yourself in the dying mode, and you're saying, God, I really wanted to do what you call me to do. And I realize that you warned me, don't make this trip. But I had to please others. There's a lot to a lot of that, folks. Over the years, I have been blessed with seeing a lot of hurt and pain. And I say blessed because in witnessing it, the pain, we can see the peace that can come from it. And as we age, we can witness that. And then about the time we think we got a handle on it, it's our time to go. And we say, I wished I had told them this. I wished I had told them that. Many people say, why does the righteous or the youth or any of this, why do they die? Do they not know that God takes them to protect them from the evil to come? See, God knows. People talk about, you know, the children dead. I mean, it kills us, every one of us, especially with a child. But now I look at it and say, what evil could have come on that child that the Lord took him home? A child is automatically under the protection of God. Well, they didn't walk the aisle. They didn't walk the aisle. Jesus walked it for them. Or those who don't have a mind. You know, they're going to burn in hell. They don't have a mind. I don't know why it is that way. I don't. I do not understand that. But I do know this for a fact. God loves us. And He will make a way.
The man on the cross didn't walk the aisle either.
No, He sure didn't. Well, now, it's according to what version when the guy was straightening me out on that from that denomination that says that they took him from the cross, baptized him, and then put him back up. But, oh, gosh. Yep, that really happened. Those Romans were just soft-hearted people. Okay, the most important test of all. Here it is, the last one. Number 4, the priorities test. What or who will be first in your life? The T-shirt may say it, but the T-shirt can't do it. It's good to see the T-shirts that say it, but the T-shirt can't do it. We can praise the Lord with our mouth, but if we don't praise the Lord with our heart through the Spirit He's given us, it's not praise to God. God says, in your pain, in your happiness, I will always be with you. But too often, friends, once again, we think, well, I'll recognize God through the pain that's going on in my life. What about through the blessings that He's given, the days you're happy, the days that you feel so comfortable to be alive? Did you give Him that day, or are we waiting until a tragedy strikes? Then I pray God this tragedy will bring us to Him if that's what it takes. And I'm afraid we're already witnessing it in this country right now. Words are cheap. Actions speak louder. You all knew that one. We've been told that since we were teenagers, for sure. Matthew 6:33, your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. What about, is He going to give it to me if I don't make the kingdom of God my primary concern? No, because that's your will taking over, and your will kill you. So no, He will not bless you. Folks, the blessings that people say of people having money and don't have Christ, these are miserable human beings. Got everything you could think of. But what good any of it without Christ, without love, without trust in a God that tells us the greatest fear you'll ever have is dying. Therefore, I'll send my Son and He'll take care of it for you. He sent His Son and He did. Your human body will have reflexes. I've really been stuck on this for a while of reminding everybody about it. When you see someone in the dying process and you see them or listen to them of fighting death, the reason you will see that is not because they have fear of being with the Lord. It's because the human body was never created to die. We will protect ourselves through reflexes, if nothing else. And God had created us to live forever. But again, through the sin of our own making, God looks down and says, you can't come here in a body like that. So I'm going to give you a brand new one. I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. But how many people truly accept it? God, what'd you let this happen to me for? Folks, everything has happened bad in my life. I brought on myself. Still do. Ought to be smart enough to realize if it's a step down, step down. Don't step in the air and then splat. You step down. What is our primary concern? Where does our money go first? How do we spend our time? Look at your checkbook stubs and your calendar, because they'll tell us what is really first in our life. Yep. And arguing about where you're going. Bless this meal, Lord. What do you mean bless the meal? You almost had a divorce trying to decide where to go. How do I change the outcome of this test? Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what God says. When you read, this is what God says, please pay attention to it. If you come back to me and trust me, you will be saved and you will be strong. James 1, 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Many people have tried to explain what the crown of life is. And some have said this is what it is. Frankly, folks, we don't know what that means. We just don't. And you say, well, you know, we'll get to the smart people, preacher, and find out. Well, the trouble with all the smart people, the smart theologians that we think, none of them agree on anything. And when none of the smart people agree, it takes me right back to where I ought to be anyway, trusting God. Because we just really aren't as smart as we think we are. We just really have to still have the God who loves us.